through this last lesson. So this is it. This is the last lesson. It's page 46 in your book. And next Sunday night, we'll finish the last half of this in the life of Moses. And so we're so thankful and excited about this lesson that we series that we've been through in Moses. And we're gonna try and pull it all together and understand where the Lord has brought us in showing us the life of Moses. And so if you have your books, turn over to page number 46 in your Bibles. I want you to open it up and look at Deuteronomy chapter number 29. And so by way of introduction, what can we say regarding this man Moses? And I've given you some statements there. As we think about the life of Moses and all that we've studied, we can certainly say this, that Moses had been used mightily and has been used mightily by God. And I say that in the present because God really still is using the life of Moses to instruct you and I. And so we can definitely say God used Moses. We can also say this, that Moses certainly was not perfect. We studied some of the different incidences in the life of Moses. That particular incident, you remember when he turned aside to the burning bush, God spoke to him. God gave him that commission to go back to Egypt. And guess what? He had all these excuses as to why he would not go back. And we can recount through the life of Moses this fact that he was not perfect. We could say this, that Moses, though he was not perfect, he walked with God. I think about the main hallmark of the life of Moses. We find him as a praying man, as a man who was always on his knees before God, particularly in the midst of troubles. Moses interceded for the nation of Israel. What a tremendous, tremendous thing that is. We can say this, that the life of Moses has been given to you and I for our learning that we, that's you and I, through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And we find that in Romans 15, verse number 4. As we close this study of the life of Moses, we are given the account of not only his death, but the Bible attests to this, his spiritual legacy, the part which continues on. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation about a few saints that had passed on. It says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest," notice this, "from their labors, and their works do follow them." When we think about Moses and him completing his labors here upon this earth, we understand his works continue on. They follow him. For the Christian, our service is to the great King. It results in works being accomplished, and they certainly do follow us. And that's really the thread that I want us to focus on this morning, is not only Moses' physical death, but his spiritual legacy, that which continues on, that which goes forward. You and I should ask the question in our own lives, what exactly will be said about you and what will be said about me when we finish our course here on this earth? Is there a major theme that could be put to you and I, stated concerning our lives? And if there is a major theme, what would that punchline be? What would that statement be that people would make concerning you or concerning me once we're done with our physical life? We would want and desire to leave a legacy walking with God. And is that what people would say about you? Will there be any tangible results that follow after you in your labors for the Lord? Will there be anybody you could point out or someone else could point out who had been affected by your service to the Lord? I'm afraid that many of us live day by day and we spend the time God has given to us with no thought of what will follow after us. And I was reminded in studying for this and preparing for this, as I would take my wallet out and I would open it up. Now, I'm not one who carries around a lot of cash, but Let's say you had $20 in $1 bills. And really, as we live day to day, if you were to just take a dollar bill out each and every day and you were to spend that dollar bill, it really pictures for you and I a spending of this time that God has given to us. And what is it that we are purchasing, if you will, with this time? What is it that we are investing in? And some of those things we could look back and see that they've been invested in things that have crumbled, things that have fallen away. But really, we want and desire for our lives to be invested in those things that do last, those things that do continue. You know, we live in a certain time period where it seems many generations of people have been lost. We look around and we see the result of living with no understanding of what will follow after us. The good news is that as God has given unto you and I breath and life and another day, as is evidenced by us being here right now, we still have an opportunity to leave a spiritual legacy behind us as we finish our course. Well, what exactly do we find at the end of Moses' life and his labors? And here's the blank for you. Point number one in your books, page number 46. I want you to mark this down. The counsel of God is given. The counsel of God is given. You'll notice right off the bat in Deuteronomy chapter number 29 that Moses, until the very end of his life, spoke the whole counsel of God. His desire was for people to live their lives in fellowship with Jehovah God. Notice in your Bibles with me, let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter number 29. The Bible says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt and Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations. And thine eyes have seen the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto the battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh." Notice verse 9, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do." What we find here in just these first few verses is Moses is recounting and reminding the people of this simple fact: God's goodness. We see that Moses takes up the task at the very end of his life, at the end of his race, of reminding people of God's goodness. Remember that this is the end of Moses' physical life. In just a few chapters, we'll read about his physical death. And therefore, you and I should weigh heavily upon these words. He reminds us, he reminds the nation of Israel of their exodus from Egypt. He reminds them of the care that God has had for them in the wilderness. And you and I are reminded too, as we look at this passage, that not only did God take care of the first generation, but even after they had sinned greatly and lacked faith to enter the promised land, the Lord still took care of the nation of Israel. He exclaims in verse 5 and verse 6, "Your clothes are not waxen old." He says, "Thy shoe is not waxen old." He goes on and talks about the food you did eat is that which God provided. In verse 7 and verse 8, he speaks of God's protection against enemies. Moses puts before the people a reminder of God's goodness. We do not detect in this passage any self-glorification at all, but he projects that which is right, and that is simply a reminder of God's goodness. There is no hero that Moses speaks of in the story other than God. And I think that's so important for you and I. So you see in your notes, verses 2 and 3, he reminds them of their exodus. We see in verses 5 through 8, he reminds them of the wilderness wanderings. Well, not only does he remind Moses of God's goodness, but letter B in your notes, Moses continues and reminds the people of God's holiness. Notice in verse number 16 and skip down in chapter number 29, and I'll read it. We can read it together. It says, "For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by, and you have seen their abominations and their idols and woods and stone, silver, and gold which were among them. Lest there should be any among you, a man or woman or family or tribe, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve other gods of these nations. Lest there should be any among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord, his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto the land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made for them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods which they knew not, whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of the land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may all do all the words of this law. We see in these very few verses, 16 through 28, a reminder of to the people of God's holiness. Moses, in these verses, turns from explaining and reminding about the graciousness of God to the holiness of God. And we live in a day, my friend, when people want to just meditate upon the graciousness of God, and they want to leave out the holiness of God, but you cannot have one without the other. And we see the holiness of God, that God is a jealous God and will not put up with the foolishness and the folly of sin in the lives of his people. He describes the emptiness and harm that comes to the heart that turns away from God to false idols, idols of wood, stone, silver, or gold. These empty creations are an imagination in the heart of man and result in bitter acid, as is put there, poison or gall, and wormwood, which stands for being accursed. He goes on in verse 19, stating the deceitfulness of sin and self. Folks who will pat themselves on their backs saying, it'll be okay. Listen, my friend, the wages of sin still is death. The deceitfulness of sin is wormwood. the man, woman, or child that believes he can walk away from God and revel in sin, in the imagination of his own heart, worshiping self, or the material pleasures of this world without any consequences will end up in the way of judgment, or for the child of God, chastisement. In verse number 20, the Bible says, the Lord will not spare him, but the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. We see this man of God, Moses, in his last moments, he reminds the people of God's graciousness, but then he reminds them of God's holiness. Verse 18, we see there God's jealousy. Verse number 19, we see the deceitfulness of sin. And verse number 20, we see them being reminded of God's judgment. But then as we move on to Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses is still continuing to talk to the people. And remember, again, these are his last moments. This is a critical time for Moses. And what is it that he's going to say? Well, in Deuteronomy 30, he reminds the people of God's graciousness and forgiveness. As we look at these first three verses, we see that Moses reminds the people of God's graciousness and his forgiveness. Notice it with me, verse number 1, it says, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. I think about the prodigal son. You remember he came to a place where the Bible says he came to himself. It came to his mind, all these curses, all these results of walking away from the Lord. And here it is in this passage right here. And then it says, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Notice verse number 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Oh, we see as a true leader that Moses in his last moments previously told the folks about God's judgment, but not with talking about God's forgiveness and graciousness. Our Lord and Savior is so gracious to us. And Moses, as an upright leader, as a man of God that has compassion and loves the people, he not only spoke about God's holiness and his judgment, but here he turns the corner and gives the whole counsel of God and speaks about God's graciousness and his forgiveness. In verse number 1, we see he reminds them to turn back to God. In verse number 2, he reminds them to obey the Lord. And then in verse number 3, he reminds them of God's gathering of his people. Well, as we continue on, this message gets even better. He begins to remind the people of life and death. In chapter number 30, verses 11, all the way down through verse number 20, Moses begins to sum up all that he's been talking about. In closing up this section, he sums up the two choices that are set before the nation of Israel. Always, you and I have these two choices that are present before us. As we look at this life, we have before us life and good and death and evil. The life which we now live, of course, upon this earth, our physical being is temporary, and it's filled with two choices. We're victorious, of course, if we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in the eternal sense, because we possess eternal life as we are possessors of Jesus Christ. But our current everyday lives are filled with choices. We can choose to walk in the Spirit and enjoy the blessed fruit of the Spirit if we're a child of God, or we can cow down to the flesh and reap the results of carnality. We can see an abundant life, one that witnesses both the mighty hand of God through tribulation or sunny days, or we can experience evil and corrupting vileness of sin and the works of the flesh. Opportunities abound as they did for the nation of Israel. They abound for you and I each and every day. Christian, in the Christian life, we have two choices, life and death, good and evil. We want to walk in the way of the Lord. The choice of life and death, good and evil, is seen both corporately and also individually. I want you to realize and understand, my friend, this morning, that God's laws are never removed. His laws for life are the same as they've always been. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter number 3 and verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." These two choices, life and good, or death and evil, are seen in this very verse, Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 15. Notice with me, it says, "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." We see not only number one, the continuing of Moses, but number two, I want you to notice this in this passage, the continuance of the work. Skip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 31. As we continue down through this passage, we see the continuance of the work. All the way to the end of Moses' life, Moses continued in the work God had for him. Moses did not have a retirement plan as it concerned his service to the Lord. One day he would cease from his work here on this earth. He would close his eyes and step into glory. The next day he would be present with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no stopping the man who has submitted himself to God. What he can do, he will do. Where the Lord leads him, he will go. What the Lord bids him to speak, he will speak. Moses submitted himself to God. He surrendered his pride. He set apart Joshua, the son of Nun, the man who would be the next leader for the nation of Israel. Notice letter A, Moses submitted to God. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 31, verse number 1, it says, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. As also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Then the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord had said." In these very verses, we see that Moses submitted himself to God. Notice in verse number 1, it says, "Moses went and he spake all these words unto Israel." In verse number 2, he admits that the Lord had said unto him, "Thou shalt not go over unto this Jordan." I am reminded about Moses' life and how he dealt with difficult people. You imagine for 40 years, wandering through the wilderness, getting up to the border of the promised land, and then not being allowed to enter in with the people because they were stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Can you imagine him turning back into the wilderness, going in circles, and at one moment in his frustration, he smites the rock instead of speaking to it as God commands. And because of all of this, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land with the people. I can imagine Moses could have allowed his failures to convince him to quit. And many of us have done that. Many of us had failed perhaps in our Christian life or failed in our walking with the Lord and have folded up our hands and have set apart and said, "I give up." Oh, what a tragedy that would be for you to stop serving and living for the Lord. Here Moses understood, though he would not have liked it, though he may not have brought it before the Lord for an appeal to change, but he did not quit. He submitted himself to God. As we begin to close, you and I must do the same. We must submit ourselves to God. We must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Whether we understand the reward or the result of our actions does not make any difference. God's actions are never unfair. They are never unrighteous. They are never unholy. Peter, if you'll remember, who had failed the Lord and suffered agonizing guilt in his denial of Jesus Christ because of his failure, he wrote this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." We find that in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6. The Lord surely lifted up Peter in his timing, in his way, which perfected Peter for the task ahead. Truly, this must have been a hard thing for Moses to take, but a man of God with a tremendous legacy does not persist in fighting against God, but submits himself to the Lord. I'm reminded of the statement that Gamaliel made, though none of us understand whether or not Gamaliel ever received Christ as his Savior or not, but he certainly made a tremendous statement. It's found in Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 39. He says, "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." As we close, I want you to see that Moses did not quit. He continued forward even in the last years of his life, in the last moments. He began to speak of God's goodness. He spoke of God's judgment. He spoke of God's holiness. He spoke of God's graciousness. And now he's speaking about that next leader that would take his place. He swallowed his pride and he set apart Joshua for the work that God would call him to enter into the promised land. But it doesn't stop there. I want you to join back with us on Sunday night. We'll be finishing up this life of Moses. We've gone all the way through almost 120 years of Moses, the man of God. And we'll finish this up Sunday evening and get down to the rest of our outline. And I pray to sum all this up for you and I. At this time, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed until church starts.